Hi, this is John Giss, the frontman for the band Electric City, and you are listening to the Youth Ministry Sherpas podcast with Steve Anderson and Matthew McCabe.
And we are back, Youth Ministry Sherpas podcast, helping youth workers to keep going.
Episode 18.
Hey guys, my name is Matthew McCabe.
I'm Steve Anderson.
So glad to have you guys with us for this episode.
It's the first episode in the month of June. We are into summer, man.
Oh man, how'd that even happen?
I'm so happy about it.
Steve, you got any bucket list items, any things that you just hope to do or things you've had on your bucket list that you have checked off?
You know, I always wanted to start a podcast.
So, there you go. Check mark.
Yeah. Things I've always wanted to do. I always wanted to write a book. I've had that on my list for years. I was a communications major in college, and I love to write. I have a personal blog and stuff. But, man, writing a book just sounds like it's so hard. I don't know if I have the discipline to do it, but it may come to pass someday.
I had a friend of mine tell me, just start writing stories.
Okay.
Doesn't have to be a book, just stories. And then somebody who knows what they're doing can put them all together and make it into a book.
That sounds like my sermon, actually.
So I've written two stories in that vein.
Okay.
And that was like, I don't know, 18 months ago.
So there's no book yet?
No.
Okay.
Not even close.
My other ambition is to break 90 in golf.
I think you can do it. I've played golf with this man. I think the 80s are coming your way this summer.
This summer?
I believe in you, Steve.
Man, you are a faithful friend, encourager. I don't know. I'm not sure it's ever going to happen. Without at least a little bit of cheating.
Well, no. Just more practice. Because we have nothing but time and money here.
Right.
One of my bucket list items is I want to play golf in Ireland.
Really?
I don't know why. Just doesn't matter what course. Doesn't have to be a famous course. I just want to be able to say that I played golf in the birthplace, basically, of golf.
You just have this dreamy vision of what golf in Ireland is like.
It's probably
cold and rainy.
It's probably horrible.
It's probably snakes in the grass.
I did, for a long time, I did have a bucket list, a personal ambition, a bucket list of hiking Machu Picchu.
Yes.
You know, one of the natural wonders. I go to Peru quite often. It's like a second home for me. I love it there, and I've been there lots and lots of times, but of course, getting to Machu Picchu is a whole other ball game. And
I've been to Peru once, and I went to Machu Picchu. I'm sorry.
There's some bitterness in me
I
about
know there
that.
Is.
It's just that your missions trip happened to be centered very close to Machu Picchu, whereas
True.
Mine take place quite a ways away.
Okay.
But last summer, I sent the team home with a few other leaders, and I stayed back with my daughter and another friend of mine. And we did Machu Picchu, and it was one of those things where you anticipate it for so long. Sometimes it's disappointing. This time, it just lived into everything that I hoped it would be. It was surreal. The whole time I was there, I was like, I feel like I'm in a movie. I feel like
it
this is isn't
incredible.
Real. It was pretty cool.
It is incredible. Did you have those guys that chased the bus down the hill? Did you ride a bus up?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, they run down through the trail.
Run down the trail.
Looking for tips, yeah.
Yeah.
You're doing a cool thing this fall, right? The hike out in...
I'm heading out to Yosemite. I like to hike. I like to be outdoors. So I'm doing Yosemite for 5 days leading up to the DYM 200.
Yeah.
So I'm spending 5 days backcountry in Yosemite, and we're going to climb Half Dome, a buddy
No
of mine.
Way.
Yeah, a buddy of mine from college and I, we hike every couple of years, and we got permits, and Cal came together just right.
Oh,
so
that's awesome.
We're going to go up the backside of Half Dome, and then when that's done, I roll on down to SoCal for DYM.
Picking me up at LAX.
That's right. It's gonna be, I'm picking up wherever you're coming in.
That's really cool. I'd love to do that.
Sherpa is going
to
take over DYM down there.
We'll see how that goes. So today we're going to talk about the subject of ambition in youth ministry. You know, we're just going to talk through our own lives and some of our perspectives that we've gained maybe and share those with you today.
This whole idea of personal ambition. Sure, you got bucket list items, but when you got into student ministry, where did you think it would go? Like, everybody has this career path, right?
Yes.
Well, student ministry is a career path. It's been legitimized. It's the real deal now.
It has been, yeah.
But when you started, Maybe not so much.
Not sure.
But when you started, what did you sort of envision as your career path? Where did you think it would go?
Yeah, I don't know if I really stopped to think about it all that much. I just kind of backed into youth ministry as a volunteer and felt that calling to pursue that, and then decided to go to seminary and get an education and actually prepare for it. And if you've listened to some of the previous episodes, you'll know that I actually didn't become a full-time youth pastor until I was 35 years old. So by that time, I already had a clear sense of this is my calling, this is what I want to do, and I was seminary trained for it and ready to go. But I don't think I thought about what it would be like, you know, 15, 20 years later if I'd still be doing that.
Right.
And what that looks like.
It didn't even cross your mind, even at 35.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, I thought I'd give it a good long run. I remember during the interview, I was asked, you know, how long do you think you'll be doing this? Or how long do you think you'll be here at this church? And I said, well, I'll be here at least 5 years.
Well, that's a terrible answer. Honestly.
I think they just wanted to know I wasn't just hopping around.
That's true.
So
that's
they like that answer. But yeah, so now they're probably like five. You said five. What are you still doing?
Why are you still here?
Yeah, how about you?
You know, for me,
your story is quite a bit different than
mine. Yeah, you know, I started so young. I mean, I was barely 21 years old when I sort of, again, backed into this job.
And you were homeless and unemployed.
I was homeless and unemployed.
That was your ambition, was to have a place to live and an income.
My ambition was a roof and a paycheck, both of which I got, both of which were not amazing. When I first started, I think where I thought it would go was save a little money so I can go back to college to do something else.
Okay.
So I certainly didn't think, you know, down the road. I mean, you know, a couple of years into it, I realized, wait a minute, no. And that's when I, you know, again, if you've listened to the podcast, I kind of thought, you know, this is my calling. This is what I was born to do.
You were born again in youth ministry.
This is what I should do. And decided not to go back to school and to stay in it. And I think at that point in time, my personal ambition was to do that.
Yeah.
And I never saw anything else.
Yeah.
Just to do that. And I guess, you know, even at that point in time, 23, 24 years old, I didn't have any vision of what I would be like at 50.
Yeah.
Or 45. So, of course, I was thinking, I'll do this till the day I die.
Which you might be.
I very well could be.
Was there ever a time when you thought about, I don't know, your own abilities, your own ambitions, and how did those play into what you wanted to accomplish in youth ministry? Maybe it was where you saw yourself fitting into the church, or maybe the size of the church, or, you know, projecting down the road, you thought you had maybe potential to lead a bigger ministry. Like, how does that all play into your ambition?
Yeah, I think once I felt the calling, you know, once I knew this is what I was supposed to do, and then got a few more years under my belt where I actually felt like I knew what I was doing, because I kind of learned on the fly.
Right.
I wasn't trained for it. I wasn't, you know, I had some biblical training at Moody, but no youth ministry training. So my first 4 or 5 years, I was just making crap up. I mean, so there was
really has that changed?
I'd like to think so, Steve. Okay. but there wasn't room for personal ambition because I didn't feel like I knew what I was doing.
Okay.
But once I turned that corner, once I kind of felt like, hey, not only do I think I know what I'm doing, not perfect, not amazing, but like, I actually think I'm pretty decent at this.
Yes.
Then all of a sudden, then there were these like ambitions, whether it would be ambitions for how big I wanted the group to get, or for what I wanted the group to accomplish, or what my place was in the church.
Yeah.
Which I think is a big part of this conversation about ambition.
Was there a point where you started to bump up against the ceiling of your church a little bit?
Yeah, there were several. You know, I was at a small kind of mainline denomination, Presbyterian church. And so they had not a really high view of student ministry. You know, to them, that was sort of like just taking care of the kids, keeping them out of trouble, keeping them out of the way of the adults, where real ministry was happening. You know, that kind of condescension was sort of commonplace.
Which is probably why they hired a 21-year-old with no experience.
Absolutely, because it didn't matter to them. They just, somebody to...
Somebody will actually take this job.
Send anybody who will
do this. And we don't even have to pay them very much.
Right, and so everything was a fight. You know, I had to fight for everything that I got in student ministry in that church because, again, they were just like, why can't you just take care of them for this much money? Why do you need that much money in your budget? And so there was a struggle, and I remember where it really started to come into focus, and this is not a fun story for me to tell.
Okay.
But back in the day, Pastor Appreciation Month was a big deal.
Yeah.
Right? Like churches would make a big deal about it. And I remember one October Sunday.
Uh-oh.
I had been at the church probably for 6 years or seven. I'd been full-time for at least four. I was pretty legitimized. We were.
Did you have a title?
Youth pastor was the title. Now, I was a Presbyterian church, so I wasn't ordained.
Right.
But I was the youth pastor. And I mean, this, and again, not to, we're all friends here, so I'll say this. This is a church of less than 200 people, and we were running 40, 50 high school kids. I mean, we were smoking. Anyway, on Sunday morning, the elders at the end of the service, the elders get on the stage. And they ask the pastor to come on stage. And so he goes on stage. And they go through this 10-minute gushing. They shower him with gifts. Mm. And they say all these wonderful things and just say, we so appreciate our pastor, singular. Mm. And there I sat in the back row with my wife and my two very small children.
And the 50 kids from the church.
And I just, I remember sitting there going, nobody takes me. What am I?
Yeah.
Chopped liver? I'm giving the best of my days. I'm giving the best of my mind and my energy. And I'm pouring almost everything I have into this. And as far as they know, I'm babysitting the kids.
Yeah.
And I just remember to this day, I get a little fired up when I think about that because, and again,
that hurts.
Well-intentioned people, they're wonderful people. I have nothing against these people. They didn't mean it.
Did anybody say anything to you about it?
Oh, yeah. There were some people that were very uncomfortable.
Mm.
Even there.
Okay. That's good, though.
And so
somebody recognized your contributions.
It was actually very sweet. The next Sunday night when we had youth group, they had youth pastor appreciation night at youth group. And they showered me with, and it was the youth and some of the volunteers that sort of spearheaded that. And even the senior pastor that Sunday when it got done, because of course he had nothing to do with it.
Right.
He came to me the minute the service ended, he came to me and he said, I am so very sorry. Because he knew that it was,
helpful.
And so
that was helpful.
Yeah, that kind of hurt. But you know that
how much longer were you there?
I was there about 2.5 more years.
Okay.
Only because I really felt like God wanted me to stay. We were in the middle of some really cool things. I wanted to leave. That Sunday. I wanted to leave and never come back.
Mm-hmm.
But I really felt like, no, you know, and again, then it comes down to the students, right?
Sure.
I couldn't just because the elders were jerks, I couldn't leave these guys hanging. So I kind of pushed it. But that mentality, although we worked through that situation, it never really changed.
I think that's where the ambition rubs up against the calling and our better selves, you know, really doing this to serve the Lord and because we love students. So there's that rub between... This is what we do because we love what we do. We take it really seriously. We love students. We love student ministry. But we also, all of us, want some kind of validation inside the church. We want to be recognized. We want youth ministry to be recognized, and we want to be recognized for the value of what we do.
Sure.
Is that a bad thing? Is it a good thing?
I go far as to say, Steve, it's we need it. We want it, mm-hmm. and that's legitimate. I wanted it that day. I was so devastated that I didn't get it because there was a desire for it. But I think to be our best selves, to really do everything that God's calling us to do in that church, we need that validation.
Yeah.
And so I'm guessing there are some people listening to this who may be going, yeah, yeah, that's the church. I'm in his church.
Right.
And if you are in Green Bay, then you should get down. they're good people. But I think it feels like an unspiritual thing to say, I'm going to leave or I'm going to look for another opportunity because I'm not receiving the validation or the respect that I think that I deserve. But I don't think that's the case. I think that God has put those personal ambitions and desires in our self. It's what drives us. It's our motor. And so we have to explore those and honor those and understand that they're legitimate. They're not evil. They're, I think, part of the plan.
Yeah. So ambition is good if it's tempered with a healthy dose of humility, maybe some wise counsel from other people, just keeping that spiritually in check.
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Do you think that you, was there ever a time for you where you wanted more, i.e. wanted more validation or had more personal ambition, but yet you weren't in a position yet where you deserved it?
Yeah, well, there was that when I was still a volunteer and wanted an increasing amount of responsibility in the youth ministry that I was volunteering at, for sure. And that didn't happen because I was in a place where education was of value to the leadership, and I didn't have an education. So until I pursued that, I wasn't going to receive that affirmation in youth ministry. So I did that. I went to school, but then I ended up in a different place afterwards. Where I am now, I was fortunate because when I came to the church, it was 3 years old, and I was the second hire.
Okay.
So there was the senior pastor, the church planter, and I was the first person brought in addition to that. And so right away, I'm given responsibilities because there's only two of us.
Sure.
I mean, we had to do things.
You're legitimized by the need.
I had to preach a significant amount, and I was on the elder board when I first got there, and things like that involved in leadership. And my voice was significant because we were small, and I was one of two staff.
Sure.
And so I feel like I was pretty blessed in that way, that I wasn't brought in and just kind of treated as a second class citizen.
But in a lot of contexts, that's not the case.
No, I wouldn't say it was always that.
Sure.
I mean, there were times over the years where I felt like, I think I have more to speak about on this than I'm being given credit for.
Sure.
I remember one time we were developing a position paper for the church on the issue of family and family ministry. And I wasn't on the elder board at this time, and they were kind of creating the paper. And they wrote an entire iteration of that paper without asking me
anything
for any input. I'd been there for 10 years, youth pastor, had a degree in youth and family ministries. And I remember thinking,
credentials
I think I have, I've done a lot of academic reading on this. I think I have something to say to this. And until I was asked, I was eventually asked, and the paper kind of got rewritten as a result of some of what I said. But I felt a little bit, left out of left out of the vision at that point.
Yeah.
So it happens to us.
Sure.
It happens to every youth pastor, youth worker at some level.
It does. It does. And I think sometimes it happens, like we've been talking about, sometimes it happens by mistake. It happens by either some dysfunction in the church or some wrong-headed thinking in the church. But sometimes I think it happens naturally. It happens by... because I started at 21 years old.
Right.
I thought I had some things to say and was frustrated that people weren't allowing me to say them. When in reality, now that I look back at it, I didn't have anything to say.
You weren't ready to say anything.
I wasn't ready. I thought I was ready to say anything. I thought I was ready for prime time, and I was not ready for prime time. And I sometimes we have to earn that voice. We have to earn that legitimization. It's not just given because you have a title or a position.
That's true.
There's some time and not necessarily not necessarily results. Like, you don't have to be the most amazing person.
Right.
But time just
demonstrate consistency
staying after it.
I agree with that. And I think we live in a culture where everything is assumed to be immediate. Mm-hmm. We think, oh, I'm going to get a house, when I'm 24 years old, and I'm going to achieve all this professionally by the age of 30, and I'm going to retire at 36, But that's just not the case. Like, there's a reason that you can't get elected to the Hall of Fame unless you've played at least 10 seasons.
Right.
You've got to prove yourself over time. You know, we're quick to say, oh, this new player, he's the greatest player ever. You know, he's played 5 seasons.
Yeah, let's see what he does
when he's 38 years old and he's 17 years in the league. And then his numbers will add up to the all-time grade. So I think just having that sense of patience as a young leader is important too.
Right, absolutely. But to not temper the ambition, because the ambition is what drives us. It's that motor. It's what is going to allow us to get to those places. And so we're not saying don't have those ambitions, but to understand where's the place for those ambitions and what's the pace of those ambitions.
How did you begin to express those here in your current position at this church? You came in with a little bit more experience, and you've been given increasing levels of responsibility and leadership here over the years. How did that happen for you?
Yeah, it happened. I did. I had 15 years of experience when I came here. I was in my late 30s.
Okay.
And so I was given a fair amount of responsibility right out of the gate, just by virtue of the experience and the time that I had. And but over the last 14 years, yeah, a significant amount of more responsibility has been given to me. And mostly that's been pretty natural based on my abilities and my mm-hmm. gifts. And so
my passions,
mm-hmm. as the church was able to unpack those.
Right.
They were able to say, like, oh, you know, you have something to offer here. Mm-hmm. Can we put this on your plate as well? Because we think that you could offer something there.
Yeah, for you, it was in the area of missions
and outreach. And outreach and stuff. Yeah. And for me, I think, this is in hindsight, I don't think I did this on purpose. Uh-huh. But as I look back on it, I never aggressively sought additional responsibilities.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I remember just saying, like, this is what I was hired to do. I am going to give everything I can to this. Now, if I'm asked to do something else, well, of course, what can I do to help? I'll do that. But I don't remember a time here where I said, hey, I have something. I want to do more over here.
Okay.
I don't ever remember doing that. Now, don't take that as like I'm so great. I'm sure that was by accident.
Okay.
But
you're probably busy not doing.
Yeah, I think if you've been given something, crush that thing. And then as you crush that thing and more gifts and passions and abilities become out in the open for everyone to see, then you're going to be invited into all kinds of places. Eventually, you're going to have to say, like, no, I can't do that, because it's going to pull you away from the one thing that you're supposed to be doing.
Right. I think one thing I've learned in increasing levels over the last 5 to 10 years is to do whatever I can to encourage the senior leader of the church. There were times when I would get frustrated, as we all do, in interpersonal relationships or whatever, leadership things. And it was easy to kind of go into a bit of a grumble, woe is me kind of mode, which is
the poor, forgotten youth worker.
Yeah, which is dumb, but we've all probably done that.
Oh, I've done it so many times.
But I've seen my role now as the second longest person on staff. The staff has grown tremendously since then, to kind of be his right-hand guy, his encouragement and support, and come alongside him and do what I can to encourage him. And I think what that does is it reciprocates into his trust of me as a leader within the church. And so my voice has increased even from that time forward, because he trusts me.
Right.
He knows that I have his back.
Absolutely.
And I think that's been a really good relationship for us.
Yeah. Now, I talked about not ever pursuing that, but I think that there are times where, you know, again, you were in that situation where they were writing this position paper. At what point in time do we have to insert ourselves?
I did. I said, hey, I really want to speak into this. I think I have something to say. I'm doing that now, actually. I've been talking to the senior pastor about the preaching calendar. And we all get an opportunity to preach. I've been given lots of opportunities to preach, and I'm blessed in that. But I think it's one of my primary gifts, and I want to be able to use that to bless the life of the church in an increasing way now that I'm a little bit older, have some more support in the youth ministry, don't have to do everything myself all the time. I have a little bit more to give there. And so I'm talking to him about, you know, can I contribute more on the preaching schedule, give you a bit more of a break? You've been doing this for 20 years, you know, and it would be healthy for you, healthy for the church, healthy for my personal ambitions, and a win all around. And I don't think that that's a bad thing. I'm not doing it in a way that's like, oh, it's about time I get some opportunity, you know.
Yeah.
It's more just, here's what I have to contribute at this point in my life. Can I do this?
Has a lot to do with the attitude in which and the way about you approach it.
Yeah, and maybe 10 or 15 years ago, I wouldn't have had that same attitude, which is kind of why we're having this discussion today, because, you know, one of the ways to really stay in youth ministry for a long time is to be able to mix the ambition tempered by the trust and the patience that God is going to use you in the right time, in the right way.
Right.
To not push the envelope, to not say, it's my time now, I've got to do this today, I've got to do this while I'm young, and kind of be the obnoxious bull forcing your way into places that you're not ready to be.
Right.
So, yeah.
So lots to think about as we think about our own personal ambitions, our ambitions in what we hope this gig will lead to, or what it will, what opportunities it will give us over the years.
I'll ask you one more question.
Sure.
Before we wrap up this episode. Have numbers ever played a role in your personal ambition?
No. Okay, that's a lie. Of course, I think it has. And I think it has in a good way.
Okay.
Not in an obsessive way, not in a, I'm going to leave this church and go to the other church because it's bigger and has bigger numbers. In fact, my wife will tell you now that she's still mad that when I was the youth worker at that church in Green Bay, and this was when things were starting to get a little rough, I was offered a job in Southern California at a church that was, so I was at the time I was running a youth group of about 35 or 40 high school kids and about 20 middle school kids. I was offered a middle school pastor job where the average attendance was 250 middle schoolers.
Wow.
At this church.
Wow.
And I turned it down.
Uh-huh.
Which, you know,
that was your first wife?
Living in Green Bay, the first time it snowed that year, she looked at me and said, you know, we could be living in Southern California right now.
You could have been
right
in SoCal, but you love Green Bay. So.
But honestly, it was a really interesting time for me that there was so much about it that I wanted to take, so much of that personal ambition of like, man, I could be the guy at a church that size. That's going to...
Your youth ministry, your middle school ministry would have been bigger than most churches.
And it would have legitimized me and all that kind of stuff.
You would have
been
a speaker at YS, man. You would have been the man right now.
Yeah, exactly. And I didn't really feel like I...
It wasn't your thing.
Well, I wasn't ready for it.
Mm.
And somehow God put that in, because there was so much of me that wanted to do that for all the wrong reasons.
Okay.
And then for some way God was able to go like, dude, that you're not game ready for that. It's going to be bad for you and bad for the church. Don't do it. I've got other plans. Let's right now you're going to do this. And the ambition for that is definitely there.
Yeah.
Definitely there.
I think we all wrestle with that. When I first started the church, it was a church plant, so the numbers were small, but it was mine. So I was able to, you know, be the primary voice into all of it. But over time, when we were in a high school for 10 years and there was a plateau in the church growth and the youth ministry growth, and I remember thinking to myself, if we don't get out of this high school, I don't think I can continue in this position, because I just can't do this in this way forever. Like, I had an ambition for a different kind of youth ministry, our own space, more students, more leaders, more influence. And until that point came, I was sort of frustrated with that. And
sure.
I'm not sure if we were still in that place that I would have persevered and still be there.
Yeah.
It's hard to know.
Yeah, personal ambition can be a great driver, but it can also...
It wasn't like I was dreaming of youth ministry greatness, whatever the heck
whatever that means.
Yeah, you know, giant numbers. That doesn't matter to me. Last night, we had... it was Mother's Day. We're recording this on...
The day after
Mother's Day. And it was one of our smallest turnouts of the year because it was Mother's Day.
Sure.
We had a blast. It felt like an intimate gathering with my closest buddies.
Yeah.
So it was great. And I loved it.
But you had personal ambitions for something bigger, probably.
Well, yeah. If it was like that every week, I wouldn't be as satisfied.
You'd be struggling.
And that's just the truth. So, you know, ambition plays a part. Our ambition for the numbers, the size of our ministry, the legitimacy within the church.
All the roles you have, how big your voice is. It all factors in. And so we just need to take an honest look at what are our personal ambitions and how do they play into the role that God has us in now and maybe where he's taking us down the road.
Just, kind of admit where all of these ambitions are. Not over-spiritualize them. I mean, it's really easy to say, my ambition is simply to expand the kingdom of God.
And serve the Lord wherever he has me.
And I'm sure that that's true, but we all have more ambition than that.
It's more complicated.
And that's not a bad thing if it's tempered with humility, patience, trust in God, and a genuine love of what we're doing.
Yeah, and we're willing to have those conversations, with trusted friends, say, hey, these are my ambitions. Am I off base? What am I doing something wrong here? To have conversations with your leadership at your church so that they know, look, these are my ambitions. And so, if we're not going to be able to meet them here, help me figure out where I can meet them. I think those are healthy conversations because if you have ambitions that are never going to be satisfied where you currently are, eventually that's going to be bad for you and bad for the church. It's going to be bad all around. So got to have those conversations. And again, I'd hate to see somebody leave where they are and go somewhere else when all they had to do is have a conversation. They would have went, oh, we'd love to help you accomplish that ambition
or just be patient in that position.
Yeah.
There's a great book by Eugene Peterson called A Long Obedience in the Same Direction. And he was, he's a renowned pastor, but he was a pastor in a small church in Bel Air, Maryland, for most of his career. And he just writes about how it's just a blessing from the Lord to stick with it in a small place and be faithful to that. That's where God has us. So all of these are great issues to think about, think through. What's your personal ambition? Are you too ambitious? Are you not ambitious enough? Are you humble? Are you patient? Are you driven? How does that all play out as our role as the youth worker, youth pastor in our church?
Lots of great conversations. Yeah. So make sure you're having those with people you trust and with the leadership in your church. And we'd love to hear from you if you're wondering about your ambitions. We've been in it a while. Just reach out to us on any of our social media platforms or drop us a note on the info@youthministrysherpas.com. We'd love to engage that conversation with you.
Don't forget to follow us on Instagram. Every Monday, we feature a different youth worker from around the country on our Road Trip USA. It's been a lot of fun, and you can meet some great youth workers through that Instagram account, as well as our next episode, which will be coming up a week from today.
That's right.
We have episode no idea 19. What the topic is.
Oh, it's going to be great, though. It's going to be phenomenal.
We have an ambition to do this as long as possible, and we hope that you will continue to listen.
All right, but for now, Sherpas out.